12. If I were to give a title to what we're going to look at this morning, it would basically be the words that are in this book. And basically, in the scriptures itself, first of all, we're going to find out what it means to literally walk in the steps of the faith. What does it mean to walk in the steps of the faith? I was born in New York City, and my cousins lived in New Jersey, which is across the George Washington Bridge. And I guess there was a lot of Bridgegate stuff going on these past few months about they closed the George Washington Bridge and they narrowed the lanes down, and it was a living nightmare with the traffic. Well, 55 years ago, I know you guys weren't here then. Some of the rest of you guys were. I used to roller skate across the George Washington Bridge. That'd kill me now. I'd be dead. They'd be calling paramedics about 100 yards in. But I used to roller skate across there because my cousins lived in New Jersey. And right on the other side of the bridge there was Fort Lee. And at that time, it was very open. There weren't a lot of homes, and like it was just open fields. Well, in the winter time, it shows you how bright I was, roller skating across the George Washington Bridge in December with snow. You know, my dad used to say, "Son, you remind me of the light bulb in a refrigerator." And I go, "What does that mean, Dad?" He says, "Useful, but not very bright." So anyway, I used to roller skate across there, and the fields were huge fields. And it would snow. There'd be like about 8 inches or 9 inches of snow. And my cousin, I was about 11 years old. My cousin was about 7 or so. And she would, and my cousin Kevin and Claire, they would follow me, and we would make these footprints in the snow. Now, Claire was very young, so what I would do is as I would walk, Claire would put her footprints, step into my footprints. Ever do that in the snow? Follow somebody, and you're putting your foot into their foot. That way, you've got sure footing because you don't know what's out there, maybe a hole or something like this, and she was really young. Well, that's the idea of walking in the footsteps of faith. We walk in the footsteps of faith of those who have gone before us. And who has gone before us? Millions have gone before us. But the footsteps of faith we're going to look at today are Abram, who will become Abraham, who was the father, what? Of faith. Let's take a look. Starting in at verse 9, he says this. He talked about blessedness beforehand, and he says, "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only?" Basically, he was talking about, does it come upon the Jew only? No, it doesn't. He goes on and he says, "Or upon the uncircumcised also. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness." Remember we talked about that being accounted? It's like having a checkbook and someone writes money, a check, and puts it in your checkbook. And so then you have money in your account. Is it interesting that we have more checks than we have money at the end of the month? I can't figure that one out. They give you all these checks, and all you're going to do is just do, no. But God puts faith in your account, and he accounts it to you. It is a banking term. It says here, he goes on in verse 10, and he says this, "How then was this accounted?" He's asking a very important question. How is faith accounted to you today, to me today? Is it counted the same way that it was counted to Abraham? Because they were talking about Jews there. Well, what about us? The person who is not of Jewish descent is a Gentile. So where are we going with this? Because he says in verse 10, "How then was it accounted while he was circumcised or uncircumcised?" Look, he gives you the answer at the end of verse 10. He says, "Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised." And I want to read a couple of verses for you. Stay right there where you are, but I'll read them for you. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the book of Genesis. Genesis. Listen to this. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram." Notice it's Abram at this time, not Abraham. "In a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" You need to take those words to heart, and so do I. The God of the universe is your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He is your shield and your exceedingly great reward. He is. He goes on in here and he says, "But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me?'" You notice that sounds like us sometimes. God, what will you give me? What do we say today? What's in it for me? Watch what happens, though. He says, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offsprings. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He was talking about Eliezer, and he was thinking maybe that was going to be the heir apparent, you know, to grow the nation. He didn't realize it. And he goes on here, though, and God says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, and he looked now toward heaven, and he said, count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Now, what I was reading was Genesis 15, verses 1 through 7. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. This is also in Genesis. And God said to Abraham, the name's been changed now, no longer Abram, but Abraham, the one of the promise. And he says, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now when did God say and account his faith righteousness? It wasn't on the act of circumcision. And this is the point that I want to get to you. The first verse we read was in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. The second verse we read was in chapter 17, years later, okay? Paul, in this book, in Romans, is trying to point out that God made this glorious promise to Abraham before he was circumcised. What does that mean to us? What does that mean about us? Well, this means a great deal. Therefore, the promise is to all, not just to the Jew, but to the Jew and to the Gentile. And if you're not Jewish by nature, you're a Gentile. You could be Irish, German, Scottish, whatever it may be. The promise is equal to Abraham, to the Jew, and it's equal to you as well. This blessedness of God's covering, the forgiveness of sins, our transgressions, and not imputing iniquity to us, but accounting our faith for righteousness, it is to all people. It is to you and to me. Now, we've read that so many times, we just take it for granted. Do you realize what's going on here? God is saying to you, as he said to Abraham, I want you to walk in the steps of faith. Now, it's easy for us to say, well, I've got faith. And remember a week or so ago, we talked about faith. I said, I stood in front of this pew and I said, I have faith that that pew will hold me. But when was the real acid test? The acid test is when I sat down on that pew. Then and only then was my faith put into action. Faith is an action verb. It is a verb. James talks about that. It says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, this is the important part. Realize it's this. It's faith. I'll do it backwards here. This way you can see it. It's faith, and then it's works. Imagine a locomotive. And imagine a train car. The locomotive is faith. The train car is works. The locomotive goes first. The train car follows it. Make sense? What if you did this? You're going to be having works ahead of faith. The Bible says it doesn't work that way. It only works this way. Faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Guess what? When you hear the word of God, when you read scripture, it says your faith is increased. Your faith goes higher than it was before. He goes on here in verse 11, and he says this. And he received the sign of circumcision, he's talking about Abraham now, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. Again, he emphasizes this faith, this covenant, this blessing that was given to Abraham was given to him long before this act of circumcision, long before these things took place. And he continues in verse 11 and he says, that he might be the father of all those who believe. If you've got that in the New King James, you can underline that and you can put your name next to it. Why? Because if he's the father of all who believe and you believe, what does that make Abraham to you? Your father. the faith father. That's the reason why they call Abraham the father of faith, because he stepped out. A little background on Abraham. Abraham was just comfy and cozy, a very wealthy man. I mean very, very, very wealthy. This man owned a lot of land. He owned over 300 and some odd servants, and he had food for those servants. He had cattle. He had gold. He had silver. This guy had it. In today's, we could call him like a Fortune 500 guy. This guy had a ton of money. And God spoke to Abraham. Why did God speak to Abraham? I don't know. But out of a clear blue, God speaks to him and he says, Abram, Abram. And he said, yes, God. He says, I want you to follow me. I'm going to lead you to a place, but I want you to follow me. And Abram said, yes, God. An oxymoron are two words that clash up against each other. It is impossible to say no God, like no, or no Lord, I won't do that. Because when you say no, then he can't be your Lord. He can't. You either say yes, Lord. If you say no, Lord, then he's not your Lord. Why? Because you've said no to him. God's will in your life is asking you to say yes to him. And you say yes to him by walking in the steps of faith that went before. The bottom line that he's talking about here is simply this. In order that this principle of righteousness by faith alone might be given to all men or accounted to all men, Abraham becomes the father of us all as far as faith. Remember I said that God has made access to him very simple and man has made it very complicated? Notice how man has a tendency to do that. He makes everything so complicated. I think Floyd can testify to this. Floyd, when you first became a CPA, how many pages do you think were in the tax law at that time? Very little. Right now, there's some. How many do you think there's in there right now? Tens of thousands. In each year, we have these wonderful people in Washington who sit around. Let's see what we can do here. We need to get more money. So we're going to write another page. Another page. They've wiped out a rainforest. There's like 20 some odd thousand pages. And each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Man makes it very complicated. God makes it very simple. Very plain. Very simple. From the start of the Old Testament, God simply set forth to create an ongoing relationship with himself and mankind. Relationship. Remember Genesis? Adam, Eve, he creates them. In Genesis 1 and 2, Adam is walking in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine that, walking in the cool of the evening, talking with God? God, how is it? How are you doing? Adam, how are you today? How's Eve? Is everything going well for you, you know? How's the garden? You like that? All that fruit, stuff like that that's there? Just a reminder. This is a short reminder. See that tree there? Yeah, don't touch it. Don't go near that tree. But anyway, you having a good day? Yeah. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow morning. All right. Bye-bye. I know that's oversimplified. But when the Bible says that that Adam walked with God and they were talking in the cool of the evening, just wrap your head around that for a second. The creator of the universe, in love, was walking with these two. And then it all went south. But man makes it complicated. Man makes it difficult. Let me ask you something. Why do you think that the Mormons or Jehovah's Witness people go door to door? Some of you may know. Why do they go door to door? Well, I've had the, you know, I remember one time I was teaching at a business conference, and I had on the shirt and the tie. I remember walking over to some people, and they go, are you a Mormon? Because I didn't have the tag on. If I had a name pad, I'd be dead in water. That's it. You know, Elder Wolins. Oh, that sounds really weird. Okay. The reason why they do that is because built into their belief system, they have to do that in order to get to heaven. They have to make converts, or you will not get in heaven. That is told to them. That is why they're going through the streets. That is why they have two people that go to your door. One is a seasoned veteran that knows, you know, the Book of Mormon or the Church of the Latter-day Saints, that they know their scripture, And they will use your Bible. They'll use your Bible to pull out certain verses. But they take it and they spin it and they twist it. And it's not true. But in order for them to get to heaven, they have to do that. Otherwise, they will not get to heaven. They are told that. That's getting to heaven by works. What about the work on the cross that Jesus did? Was that finished work? Well, and they'll say, well, yes, it's finished, but these are the things that you really need to do. No. You need to do one thing. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Ask him into your life. Ask him to forgive your sins. You are a new person. You don't need a laundry list of a whole bunch of stuff that you need to do, but it's built into their system. They have to do that. You know, the classic story of how God makes things simple, but man either can't or does not believe it, can be found in the book of Numbers. You might want to write that down in the corner of where you are in the Bible there. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. And it's a neat little story. You've heard it before. Basically, it records a story of the rebellious Israelites who murmured and complained, so God sent fiery serpents in the midst of them to bite them and to punish them? Go, wait a minute. Then God told Moses to do this. Now listen to these instructions. God told Moses to put a bronze serpent on a pole with the promise that whoever looked at it, stood on one foot, cut their hair a certain way, juggled 4 or 5 billiard balls, ran around the town 2 or 3 times, and then spoke in Hebrew, would be healed. Is that right? No. That's man. What did God say to Moses? Moses, you put this bronze serpent on a pole with this promise that whoever looked at it would live. Period. Look at it and you'll live. That's it. Jesus quotes this in John 3:14. In John 3:14, what does he say? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Can you imagine? Here are these people, they're dying. They've been bitten by a rattler or something like this. And Moses says, all you need to do is just see that pole? Just look at that. And he goes, man, I'm dying. I got bit by a rattler. You're telling me to look at a pole? There's got to be more to it than that. I need some anti-venom or something. I need something. No. Look. Just look. Just look. And Jesus drew the analogy in the New Testament, the same thing. This sacrifice on the cross is for you. Just receive it. It's a finished work. How do we know it's a finished work? What were his words? It is finished. Done. You don't do anything else. You don't have to cut your hair a certain way. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to do all this other stuff. God will do it for you. There's an old hymn that's called Just As I Am. Billy Graham has used it for 70 years. Just as I am without one plea. You come to Jesus Christ just as you are. Is that great news or what? I don't have to get my... Let's praise God. Come on. I don't have to get my stuff together. How many people have you heard say this to, you know, there's a lot of stuff I need to do in my life to get myself together first, and then I'll turn my life over to Jesus. No. You turn your life over to him right now, right where you are at, right in the mess, right in the drugs, right in the liquor, right in the whatever. You turn your life over to him right now, and he will take you out of that. He's the one who does it, not you. If God had to wait around for us to get our stuff together, heaven would be totally empty. Just point blank, and hell would be pretty full. He doesn't wait around. When you cry out from the depths of your heart, Jesus, save me, he does exactly that. He does exactly that because he loves you. Man makes things so complicated. Why does, you know, it's amazing. In this point that I was talking about here, about Moses in the wilderness, it's a case in point. We just went through a season where a man has taken religion and he's turned it into a ritual. I'm talking about the season of Lent. Lent is a season that basically it says you need to give something up for Lent. They base this on the fact, They base it on the fact that they read in Scripture where it says Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. Therefore, you need to give up something for those 40 days. Show me where that says that here. Find that. You'll find it where Jesus did it, but he is not telling you to do it. That is a ritual, a man-made ritual. It is not biblical. One of the challenges in our life is we have to do this. Do not add or bring into the Bible our thoughts, the ways that we would think, the things that man would try to conceive or put together. Because when you do, you're watering down God's word. And there are churches, there are full of people today, thousands of people today, that water down God's word because they bring in all kinds of stuff. Well, it's okay, and that's fine, let's do this, and we'll bring this in, and we'll bring that in. No, stay with the Word of God. Everything you will ever need in your life is found in these 66 books. Every answer you will ever to every question you will ever have is found in this book. That's the issue that we're dealing with here. He closes with verse 12, and look what he says here. He talks about Father Abraham, basically, and there was a little kid song, we talked about that, Father Abraham. Yeah, there we go. He's singing it back there. He's going, oh, that's a song. Father Abraham had many sons. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, we're all together now. No. Okay. There we go. That's a great song. You know, that's a great song. It really, really is. Look what he says in verse 12 as he closes. He talks about this. He says, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also, and this is our title, walk in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Walk in the steps of faith, literally. Again, you've heard me say, a lot of people say, well, that was for the Jew. No, that was for you too. Because long before Abraham was circumcised, this was given to him, literally. A little further down, I want to touch on a couple of things as we wrap this up now. We're going to find in the book of Romans here, the fourth chapter, a few verses down, it's going to say a couple of other things. First of all, talk about Abraham, and it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Do you realize, in contrary to hope, in hope believed? You may have hoped for something to come about in your life. I don't know what that something is, but you may have hoped for it. You may have hoped for it against hope. In other words, deep down inside, you felt there was no hope. Ever been there where you felt that there was no hope? I've been there. Well, I felt that there was no hope, literally. But you pressed on. You pressed on what? In hope. You see, the key is this. Who do you place your hope in? Not what do you place your hope in. It's who you place your hope in. It's not a what, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. When you place your hope in him, Lord, whatever your will is for me, I accept it. Whatever you're going to have happen. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the guys with the first barbecue in the Bible? And they were the ones who were going to be the barbecue? Threw them into the fire? And the king said, we threw in three guys. There's a fourth guy in there, and he looks like the Son of God. And they came out of the fire. They didn't even smell like they were burned. Their hair wasn't even singed. Their clothes weren't burned. The only thing that was burned off of them were the things that tied them. And you've heard me say this before. When you go through a trial in your life, the things that will be burnt off you are the things that tied you. God will burn them off. And at the same time, he will protect you. That's what he does. You see, that's walking in the steps of faith. It's putting your faith in him. Another thing we're going to find out about Abraham is this, as we've gone through this. He was not being weak in faith. Don't be weak in faith. What do you mean, be weak in faith? What did Jesus say? If you had faith like a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Well, let me ask you. What mountains are in your life this morning? Is there a mountain in your life this morning? There may be. I don't know. What mountains have been standing? What mountains have you been standing in the shadow of this past week? You know, mountains cast huge shadows. And sometimes they blind us because they're so huge. Well, in order to move them, you must place your faith in a mountain-moving God. God will move the mountains in your life. And I want you to hear that. He will move the mountains in your life. He will make a change in your life. You're also going to find out that Abraham was fully convinced. Are you fully convinced? Am I fully convinced? Take a minute and just look at this as we wrap this up. Abraham did not have the Bible to see and read the mighty works of God. He didn't have Hebrews 11. He didn't have that. You and I have this entire Bible, a library of 66 books. What did Abraham have? He had a promise. I promise you this. When the God of the universe, through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, promises you something, I'll use today's verbiage. You could take that to the bank. You could take it to the bank. Because when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He will never let you down. When he touches your life and he says, I'm going to do this, fasten your seatbelt because it's going to get done. He is the God of miracles today as well as yesterday. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. Place every fear, every doubt, every uncertainty in the hands of Jesus Christ and watch what he will do. How many times have we read Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the substance of what we hope for, the evidence of things we do not see. We don't see it, but it's in front of you. You haven't reached it yet. Remember these words, and I would just kind of, as we pull this together. The world says, seeing is believing. Ever hear that? I'll believe that when I see it. Show it to me, then I'll believe it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, believing is seeing. Whoa. It isn't? Yes, it is. Believing is seeing. It's seeing with the eyes of faith, not with the eyes in your head. I don't need faith to know this microphone's here. If I can see it, where's my faith? But if you can't see it, if it's just beyond the horizon of in your life, and there are things on the horizon in your life you can't see right now. You see, you can't see around a corner. God can. You can't see over the mountaintop. God can. You can't see through a valley. God can. And that's what he has in your life. And he's planned it out for you, literally. I close with this. This is a verse in a song that I was going over and praying this past week, and you may have heard the song. I can't remember the melody to it, but it says, have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no other power can do. He will do for you what no other power can do. Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be with us. Father, this morning, as we gathered here, Lord, I pray that you guide each one of us this morning, that you speak to our hearts, that you spoke to our hearts this morning here, that, Lord, in the midst of all this, you are at work in our lives. Father, I thank you for each person. I thank you, God, for your blessings. I thank you for these beautiful people. And let's all stand right now, and Artie's going to play a song. And if you're not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost, I would ask you to come forward. I want to pray with you to settle that once and for all, that you would know you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe you want to walk closer to the Lord. You want specific prayer for a healing or whatever's going on in your life. But as Artie's praying right now, I would just simply ask you, come forward and let me pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for each person here. I ask your blessing on every single one, Father, this morning. Whatever's going on in the lives, Father, of the people here, I pray that your hand be on them, that you watch over them, that you bless them, Father, in all of these things, Lord. I pray, Father, because today is the day, Father, that they would be blessed. Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory, Father, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. And together we said, amen. Artie's going to do one more song, and then we're going to be dismissed. You can go out. We've got some great food in the fellowship hall. While you're heading out there, I want to meet with some of the leadership team in here. We've got some church business we need to take care of. It'll take about 5 minutes. But everybody else, you're welcome at the close of this song. So, Artie, go ahead.